the sixth chapter. Last week I began and introduced just a short three-part series that will that included last week, this morning, and then next week. Just a short three-week series entitled, and while you're turning to Galatians 6, I want to mention our life groups and make sure that you get connected to one of them. This week is the Young Families, is this Wednesday. If you are a parent of a child that, or a teenager or a young person, you can come here to the church, bring your children here, and then go right next door to the parsonage and be with Daniel and Danielle and just relax, have a good time as parents, get to have some fellowship and also share life at the stage that you're in and dealing with children and family life and just pray together and just be a good support time to you. And then you see the other locations and areas and dates for life groups. They're in the bulletin and they're around the area. I trust that you'll get connected. It's important that we take the group, even a size like this morning, and we meet in smaller groups and we get to know each other, learn about each other, care about each other, and do life together in a way that we can make a difference and encourage and strengthen one another. So I ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we, as I said, I introduced a series, a message that I began last week called A Season of Opportunity. Say that with me. A Season of Opportunity. And we told you that we're heading into a special time of the year, but also a difficult time of the year. You know the old holiday tune that says, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and yet for many people, it's the most difficult time of the year. And as we head into this holiday season and this special time, we've got Thanksgiving, and then, of course, Christmas is coming. And as we head into this season, I want you to see it as a season of opportunity. You know, oftentimes we come to this time of the year, and people dread it. We come to this time of the year, and people try to ignore it. We come to this time of the year and people try to endure it. Some even like to complain about it. And I grant you there are things to complain about. But the truth is that instead of enduring it and dreading it, let's embrace it and see it as a season of opportunity and say, God, in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of these other things, you do something special. And you open up an opportunity in my life that will be memorable, meaningful, and will make this season merry. And that's exactly what our heart is, and I believe that's the heart of God for this series as we share it with you. I told you last week that this series was birthed out of last year in our family's life. My father was in the hospital, and he was in and out of the hospital. I was back and forth to Pennsylvania as we were heading into Thanksgiving and Christmas. And as much as I love the holidays, as much as I love Thanksgiving and Christmas, I was kind of dreading it, and I was kind of worried about it, and because my mother had passed away years ago just before Christmas, and I thought, oh, if something happens to my dad, then both family members are going to pass around the holidays. It's just going to make them hard, and I really was struggling with it, and my wife came to me and said how the Lord had put in her heart that we need to make it an opportunity to be all together this Christmas, no matter what the circumstances are. And so with my children's help last year, we went to Pennsylvania, and we got to spend Christmas together with my dad. All of us were together. We went through a lot of different dynamics and logistics to make that happen, but we were able to do that. And I can tell you that even though my dad passed away 2 months after that, we had that moment. We had that memory. We had that opportunity. And instead of making that holiday time a downtime and a difficult time, and it was still hard, and in the midst of it, though, we were able to seize an opportunity to spend that time together. And I'll never forget it. And I showed you the picture last week, and that picture hangs in my home. And all of our family members have that picture because it reminds us of the opportunity we got to spend together. So I know there are difficult times. I know there are things that are happening in all of our lives. And so as you head into this Thanksgiving and Christmas season, embrace it as a season of opportunity. And let's believe God to do something memorable. Let's believe God to do something meaningful. And let's believe God to make this a merry Thanksgiving and a merry Christmas. I ask you to turn to Galatians 6, and verse 10 is our text for this short series. As we therefore have opportunity, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia, as we therefore have opportunity, say opportunity. That word opportunity means an appropriate time or season for success. Isn't that a great definition? An appropriate time or a favorable time to succeed. That's what an opportunity is. An opportunity is a chance for us to succeed, a chance for us to see something good. And therefore, as we have opportunity, as God opens opportunities to us, let us do good. Let us do good. How many know God wants us this Thanksgiving and this Christmas to do good? This is the season when people start thinking about what we can do for each other and how we can do something for somebody else. And that's exactly what we want to do. See this as a season of opportunity to do good for all people, but especially those who are of the household of faith, especially those that are closest to us in our own natural family, but also in our own spiritual family. And so we told you we're looking at the context of Galatians chapter 6. There are 10 verses. Verse 10 is our text, but the first 9 verses give us 3 opportunities, 3 spiritual things that we can do, things that we can do good in during this season and during this time that will make this time memorable, meaningful, and merry. Last week, we gave you the first one. Last week, we talked about this is a season of opportunity for forgiving. Say forgiving. Last week, if you missed it, that message is available on CD. You can get a CD here, or you can just go to the website and download the podcast and listen to that message. It's free. It's no cost on the website. And I want you to get that message because I believe it can change our lives. I believe it can change this season. How wonderful would it be if during this time of the year we saw relationships restored and repaired? What a wonderful time that could be. Now, can that happen? It can if we'll look at it as an opportunity and say, God, if you will create the opportunity, we can't force it, we can't make it happen. But if we're open and we will ask God, he can create an opportunity for us to repair and to restore relationships. Make this a season of opportunity for forgiving. Get last week's message. This morning, I want to go to the second opportunity. And next week, I'll give you the third, and that's the series for just this month of November. A season of opportunity for serving. For serving. Say serving. And could it have fallen any better than on Veterans Day? I mean, I didn't plan that. I wish I could stand here and tell you I was a genius and I planned that and I'm just so led by God's Spirit that it fell right on the sun. I really didn't. It's really quite an accident, but I'm happy for that accident. Because it isn't any more fitting than to see those lives here and those that are around our country and those who have served. They understand the concept of service and serving. And I really believe that is the second opportunity that the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 6, as he introduces the second opportunity to do good. The first opportunity is forgiving. The second opportunity during this season is for serving. Say it one more time with me, serving. I want you to see the verses in Galatians that he shares with. In verse 5, chapter 5, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh or to be selfish." I mean, God didn't bless us in America and didn't bless us as Christians and didn't do good for us to be selfish, for us to do it just for ourselves. He said, but rather serve one another. Say serve one another. Serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul continues to say, bear one another's burdens and you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's interesting, in the scripture, if you read the scripture, the phrase one another is used over and over. Matter of fact, I believe it's 26 or 28 times you'll see the phrase one another. Pray for one another, love one another, prefer one another, edify one another, just to mention a few. And the Apostle Paul adds 2 in the context of Galatians 5 and Galatians 6 when he adds serve one another and bear one another's burdens. And so I believe this morning that we are in a season of opportunity. If we will open our hearts and ask God, we are in a season of opportunity to serve the Lord by serving others. How many know when we serve others, we serve the Lord? What it really means to serve God and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is to serve others. You don't do it just for the individual. We're doing it to fulfill the law of the Lord Jesus, who encouraged us to serve one another, to love one another, and to bear one another's burden. How wonderful would this season be? How wonderful would our homes and families be if we served one another in our own homes? How wonderful during this holiday season, we didn't let one person carry the load, but we served each other and helped each other. How wonderful would it be in our neighborhoods and our communities? How wonderful would it be in America if we weren't selfish and instead we looked at how we can serve one another as we serve the Lord, who commanded us to love, to serve, and to bear one another's burdens. How many like the Peanuts comic strip? Well, Lucy asked Charlie Brown one day, "Why are we here on earth?" He replied very quickly, "To make others happy." Lucy ponders a moment, thinks about it, scratches her head, and then says, "Well, then, why are the others here?" How many know when we serve the Lord, we serve others? Why are we here? We're here not to use the freedom we have. We're here not to use the blessings we've been given to be selfish, but to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens. Now, in Galatians 6, 2 through 5, those are the verses we're going to focus on. Last week, we focused on just verse 1 of chapter 6. Today, we're going to move down to verses 2 to 5, and then next week, we'll look at verses 6 to 9, and we'll close this short series. But this morning, as we look at verses, chapter 6, verses 2 to 5, I want to first of all look at the explanation of what it means to serve others. The Apostle Paul gives us an interesting explanation. He mentions something very interesting, and he has to explain something important to us that I want us to see this morning. And to be honest with you, I never always saw it, but over the last years as I've studied the Word of God, I've seen this. I want you to notice chapter 6 of Galatians, verses 2 and verse 5. I want you to notice two seemingly contradictory statements that Paul makes in the same verse. After saying, serve one another, we fulfill the law of Christ, he says, bear one another's burdens and you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And then in verse 5, he says, for each one should bear their own burdens. Now, which is it, Paul? Are we to bear one another's burdens or are we to bear our own burdens? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. We're to bear one another's burdens and we're to bear our own burdens. He explains what it means to truly serve. What does it mean to serve one another? What does it mean to help one another? What does it mean to bear one another's burdens and to bear our own burdens at the same time? Well, let me explain what Paul was explaining. The word bear in both verse 2 and verse 6, the word bear means to carry, means to shoulder, to carry or to help shoulder. The word burden in verse 2 and the word burden in verse 5 are not the same Greek word. While the word bear is the same, and we are all to bear or all to carry both others' burdens and our own burdens, and we're to shoulder. What does that mean, to bear? It means to pray for one another. It means to help where we can. It means to serve when we're able. It means to bless others if we've been blessed. It means to encourage each other. We know what those things mean, but that is something we carry and we are to help shoulder for others and for ourselves. But notice that the word burden in verse 2 and the word burden in verse 5 are different words. How many know the New Testament was written in Greek? And the Greek word for the word burden in verse 2 is the word baros, B-A-R-O-S, which means an extreme heavy weight. In verse 5, the word burden is the word, and I want to pronounce it portion because it looks like our English word portion, which means a unique load. Now, what's interesting is he's saying we are to carry and to shoulder the burden of others when they are carrying an extreme heavy load, and we are to carry our own burdens or handle our own portion or our own unique load. How many see the difference? How many see the explanation? Let me illustrate this with you. Derek, come here, help me. I've got these. You got your backpack on? Put your backpack on. I need somebody else to help me. Mike, would you come on over here? Or you want to do it, Bobby? All right, she wants to do it. Come on up here. You come up on this side.
I always carry a backpack.
She carries a backpack to work every day. If you'll come up here a moment on this side, Derek's on this side. Now, how many know each of us, like my wife here and Derek here, each of us have their own backpack. How many know each of us has our own unique load to carry? Come on, how many know every one of us has load to carry? Everybody has a backpack. Everybody has problems. Everybody has weights. Everybody has pressures. Everybody has needs. Everybody goes through struggles. Everybody has, and everybody, it's their, everybody's responsibility to carry their own weight. Oh, come on. That's Bible. Listen, it is not our responsibility to do for others what they have to do or can do for themselves. Come on, that's Bible. Nothing wrong with that. Bobby's responsibility is to carry her backpack. It's Derek's responsibility to carry his backpack. It's not Derek's responsibility to carry Bobby's backpack and his. That's his unique load. That's her unique load. However, as life comes along, there you go, buddy. By the way, these cereal boxes, we were blessed by someone with these boxes, and if you need cereal, if you'd like to take, you can take them on the way out. You're welcome to help yourself, because that might just carry a load for you. You one less box of cereal you got to buy. I mean, no, cereal's expensive. I didn't realize how expensive it is. Anyways, it's not Captain Crunch, my friend. Never mind. I'm getting distracted here. Let me focus here. All right. So now Derek, going through life, and he faces a problem. Okay? Bobby's life is still going pretty good. She's carrying her load. But then Derek faces, you ready?
Yeah.
I might not have enough boxes for this guy. Now Derek is going through some real stuff. Physically, emotionally, family. He's got lots of pressures at work. Things are going on. Things are happening. He's not feeling well. Things are going on. And his load, how's that load there, buddy? Yeah, not so easy, is it? Listen, how many know we all go through seasons and times when the weight is heavier than normal? We all have needs. We all have problems. We all have our own backpack that's unique. But what happens is life has a way at different times and seasons to add extra pressures. Someone gets sick. Someone goes to the hospital. Something happens at work. We lose a job. Someone dies. It's family. We go through different things in life. And the thing, are you ready for this? Oh, my Lord.
Don't throw it. But...
Wow, you are one. I knew this guy was one tough customer. That's why I chose him. Now, listen. How many understand it's not? You can set him down. You want to set him down? You want to set him down? You got it? You can set him down. Come on, give him a hand for that. You're an animal, man. You are tough, man. He's such a good servant and such a good, that's why I wanted him to help me with this. But here's the point. You see the point. Bobby's responsibility is to carry her load. Derek's responsibility is to carry his own load. But when life throws us extra, come on. When life throws us extra weights and unexpected things, or when we mess up and we cause some problems for ourselves, come on, and pressures come in and things mount, how many know that's when we need help? And that's when these boxes load up, that's when it is Bobby's responsibility to come over and say, look, I've got my load, you've got your load, but you've got an exceptional load. You're going through an extreme time. You're going through an emergency time. You're going through a load where, look, you don't have to carry it all by yourself. There you go. You don't have to carry it all by yourself. Instead of you carrying all four boxes, I'll take two, you take two, and we'll get the job done. Come on, there you go. You can put them down. Thank you. You can put them right there. That's good. How many see the difference? Paul's not contradicting himself. Paul's not contradicting himself. Look, we all have a responsibility in life to pull our own weight. We have a responsibility in life to carry our, we have unique, all of us here in this room have unique problems. Well, they're similar in the sense that we can relate to them. They're different in the names and the places and the dates and the times are different or detail. But how many know, while we have our own unique load and we have to, with God's help, handle those loads. But how many know when someone's going through a tough time, come on, when someone's got more weight than they can handle, when someone's got more problems than we can't even imagine, even though we have our own problems and our own needs, no one's exempt from that. But there are those times when we need to be open and we need to be sensitive and say, you know what? I've got my load. I know I've got my load, but I can manage this. That brother, that sister, that family member, that neighbor, that person in the church, that person at my job, that person during this holiday season needs a little help. You can't do it all for them. You can't support them for the rest of their life. You can't be there all the time, 24. But how many know that one moment to say, let me carry one of those boxes. Let me cook you a meal. Let me say a prayer. Let me visit you. Come on. Let me take care of this. Let me help. That's what it means to serve one another. To ask God during this season of opportunity to serve. Where we can find an opportunity. And how many know you are going to encounter people right in your own home, right in your own family, right in your neighborhood, right in where you work, right in this church this year, who are just going to need a little boost, a little help, a little extra. And you know what? We can be the ones that God can use, listen, to serve the Lord as we serve them. To shoulder a little bit of the weight so that he can shoulder the bulk of the weight. How many know Isaiah said that the child that is born and the son is given, that the weight and government will be upon his shoulders. He will carry. Jesus can carry us all through, but how many know he wants to use me and you to be the one to help them and be his hands and his feet to shoulder the load, to serve him by serving others. How many can see that's what Paul was explaining when he gives us the explanation on what it means to serve the Lord? To love one another and to serve one another is not to do it all for somebody, but it is to help them and to bear those weights and burdens when they're in need. The second thing I want you to look with me in this passage in Galatians 6 is not only the explanation about what it means to serve others, but I want to show you, Paul gives us three instructions on how we are to serve. How many know it's just as important how we do it? I remember when I was growing up, it was my job in the family to take out the trash. We all had jobs back then. One washed, one dried, one put the stuff away. You know, that's, and I, my job as well was to take out the trash. I remember I used to get frustrated with the fact that that was my job in the family, and I would play games with it. I would see how far I could throw the bag and get it to the curb before I could. I would try to kick the bag and see, and how many know I wound up picking up more trash than I had to bring to the curb? And I remember I used to whine and complain and say, why do I have to do this? And this is the dirtiest job. Well, it was garbage, but this is, and I remember one day my mom put her arm around me and said, listen, you could take it to the curb with a smile and be back fast, or you can play all these games and be miserable for the whole night. And the light bulb went on in my head. I'm not a genius, but it hit me. How many know how we do something matters? How we serve. We know we should serve. Paul just explained that we have a responsibility to help one. But how many know how we do it matters? And he gives us three instructions in our passage. First of all, he says, when you serve others, do it with the right perspective. How many know it's important that when we serve with the right perspective? How we think about ourselves, how we think about them. You see, if I look at taking out the trash as a miserable, dirty job and no one should have to do it, how many know I'm not going to do it very well? But if I look at it, I'm helping the family, it's an important responsibility, and if I do it with all my heart, it matters, how many know, a whole lot better. And the same thing is true. We need to have the right perspective. Look what Paul says. Bear one another's burdens, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks, what's their perspective? What's the perspective? Bear one another. But if you're going to bear one another's burden, don't think that you're better than they are. He that thinks that they're something and they are not, they deceive themselves. What Paul is saying is, look, serve others, bear one another's burdens, but don't look at them as if you're better than them because you're helping them. If you project that you're superior and you project that you need me and look how good I am, how many know we're not serving the right way? Oh, come on. We got to serve with the right perspective. We can't look at the other person and say, I'm better than you are. I'm more spiritual than you are. I must have done better things than you did. Oh, come on. How many know we can't look at others who are in need and say, they must have did something wrong. Come on. That's not the perspective that Christ would have us serve with. Listen, maybe they did do something wrong. And if they did, how many know it's still right to help them? And listen, by helping them and doing it the right way, you might actually teach them and they might actually learn how to do what's right. Oh, come on. And if they didn't do something wrong to be in that situation, then how many know you're going to bless them and help them all the more? The right perspective. The right perspective. Not to look down on one another. To value one another. To not tear down, but to value and to encourage one another so that they can do better. How many know in Luke, Jesus told a parable in Luke 18. He told a parable about two men. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And he said the two of them came to the temple to pray. The Pharisee closed his eyes, looked to the heavens and said, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like this man. The Pharisee bowed his head and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. I need help too. Jesus said, which one of them is truly righteous? Oh, come on. The one who looks down and says, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'll help them, but I'm glad I'm not like them. I'll serve them, but, or, Lord, I've been in need before. I need help to have mercy on me and them, which is righteous. And then Jesus said this, whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. We need to serve with the right perspective. There's one other story in the Bible that goes with this in John 9. I remember there was a young man born blind, and Jesus comes to heal him. And what did the disciples and the religious people say? Who sinned? This man or his parents? In other words, what bad did they do to get themselves in this jam? Why, they must be bad or they must need help because they're in this bad. They must have did something wrong. And what did Jesus say? Neither. But that the works of God might be manifested. In other words, this is an opportunity for me to heal him and for you to help him and to minister to him because this is an opportunity to see the glory of God. Every time we value people, every time we see people the right way, and we bear their burdens and help them in their difficult time, and we serve them, how many know, not only do we fulfill the law of Christ, but how many understand what we do is we have an opportunity to see God receive some glory and God to be blessed. So the first instruction on how we are to serve is to serve with the right perspective. The second is we have to serve with the right motive. How many know motive is everything? In other words, what is the intent of our heart? Ask yourself when you're going to help that person. Ask yourself when you see that person in need. Ask yourself when you've done something, you're going to do something for someone. Am I doing this for the right reason? Am I doing it to make myself look better? Am I doing it to get applause? Am I looking for it to get attention? What am I looking for it to show how spiritual I am? Or am I doing it for the right motive to help them? The right perspective and the right motive. Look at what Paul says. Bear one another's burden, you fulfill the law. If anyone thinks perspective, they are something and they're not. Each one should test their own actions. How many know we got to test our actions? How many know it's so important that we check our motive and we test our heart? Not for me to test your heart or examine your heart, not for you to examine my heart, but it's important for me to check my own heart and say, Lord, if I'm going to do this, help me to do it with the right motive and with the right heart. If I'm going to help somebody, let me do it not wanting anything in return. Let me do it with the right heart, not for what I get out of it, but for what they get out of it. Do it with the right heart and with the right motive. How many understand the Bible teaches us a couple of scriptures? The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Make sure there's no wicked way inside of me." How many know, even as believers, sometimes we could help someone or serve someone and still have that feeling in our heart and holding on to something that may disqualify, and we miss out on the blessing that God would have for us if we do it with the right heart. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Bible says, "Examine yourself and make sure you're acting according to faith. Test yourself, realizing that Jesus is in you and he knows your heart." How many know man looks on the outward? God looks at the heart. Man looks at how, oh, look how nice they helped that person. But God looks at the heart and wants to know, did they help him for the right reason, with the right motive? How many know we talk about Christmas time, the story of the wise men? Remember Herod? What did Herod do? He said to the wise men, "Oh, go, hurry, find out where Jesus is, because I want to come and worship." How many know that wasn't his heart? His heart was to destroy. His heart was to hurt the child. His heart was to get rid of the competition because he heard a king was in town and being born. And sometimes we could say, "Oh, I'm doing it for this reason," when really in our heart, oh, come on. Bear one another's burdens with the right perspective, with the right motive, and with the right objective. With the right objective. What do we want to see come out of that? What's the end game? What do we want to see accomplished by helping and by serving? Look at what Galatians says, "Bear one another's burdens and you'll fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks perspective that they are something and they're not, each one should test motive, test their own actions." Notice this, "then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else." In other words, your objective should be, and it's okay that when you serve someone, your objective can be to take pride, not ego kind of pride, but pride that says, you know, I did the right thing. I honored God. How many know it's okay to feel that way when you do something? It's okay. Paul's saying your objective, your first objective can be to take pride in yourself, but not just in yourself. Take pride in the fact that God chose you to use you. I love how when Mark told me way back yonder, and he tells me every year, he's so taking care of this church and serves this church by cleaning it and taking care of what's coming. And every time I say, "Mark, thank you," he said, "Don't thank me, it's my privilege. I feel like I'm so thankful God chose me to serve him." That's the right objective. You can take pride. He can go home and take pride and say, I'm glad I helped out, not just pastor of the congregation, I helped, but I can take pride in the fact I did the right thing before God. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good objective. Our objective should be to please God and to take pride in the fact we do what God wants. There's nothing wrong. But how many know we not only can take pride, but we can also take pride in the fact, and we can give them pride in the fact that they can somehow maybe then stand alone on their own and stand on their own 2 feet if we help them. Oh, come on. How many know the idea is to help them take pride in themselves? How many know the idea in helping someone is not to demean them and make them feel bad or obligated or dependent? How many know our purpose and objective in helping them is to make them have dignity and feel good about themselves and take some pride in the fact that, look, with your help, I can get through this tough time, but then I can stand on my own and then sometime help somebody else. Oh, come on. Isn't that the objective? The objective should be, I get to feel good before God and know I did the right thing. They get to feel good in themselves because they were able to get through a tough time. And they get to somehow get better and feel better so that they can turn help somebody else so they can take pride in the fact that they helped someone with God's help. And isn't that the objective of being blessed? Isn't that the objective of serving? The objective should be to help someone so that they can help someone else. That's the objective. I get blessed so I can bless you. You get blessed so that you can bless someone else. They get blessed. So, come on, how many can see that's the objective? The right objective where we can take pride. How many know the objective is not to compare them but to empower them? How many know when we help someone and we serve someone, the objective should not be to make them dependent on us? Listen to me. We're not there to enable them to stay where they are. Oh, come on. The idea in helping someone is not to enable them to stay where they are, because there's a point where they got to put their own backpack on. Oh, come on. You help people till they can put their own backpack on. You try to empower them. When they're carrying the four boxes and they need you to take two, you take two. And when you get to the destination, that's where they've got to begin to realize, before I take on four boxes, I need to get a dolly. We're not there to enable people to stay where they are and stay dependent. The idea is to empower them, listen, so that they can take pride in themselves, so they can be blessed and get through and stand on their own, so then they can then help somebody else. Because we need as many people blessed to help others who need to be blessed so that they can bless others. Is that making any sense? Let me show you what the book of Romans tells us in kind of summing these three instructions up. We that are strong, which means spiritual mature, ought to bear, carry, or help shoulder the infirmities, the weights, the burdens that are too big for someone of the weak. They can't do it themselves, or they don't have the ability to do it. If they have the ability to do themselves, then help them do it themselves. Oh, come on. If they can't do it themselves, then do it for them until you help them do it. Oh, do it for them, do it with them. Let them do it on their own. I mean, that's great leadership. Do it for them. Show them how to do it. Do it with them. And then let them do it on their own. You who are strong and mature, bear, help shoulder the weak infirmities of those that are weak, those that can't do it on their own. Not to please yourself. Let everyone please his neighbor. Please the one. Do it for the objective to help them. For their good unto, what's that word? Come on, say it. Edification, so that you empower them, so that you build them up. How many know you don't help people to keep them down? You don't serve people and bury the load so that they have to keep asking for help. You encourage them and serve them and carry the load so that you can edify them and empower them to stand on their own and to help someone else. For even Christ pleased not himself. And then he quotes Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man came not to be served. That's not our objective, to be served, but to serve and to give his life for others. To give his life for others. This season, how many know we have an opportunity? How many know God's going to give us, if he gives us breath and life and he tarries, as we go through Thanksgiving and Christmas, we have an opportunity to do good. We have an opportunity to look for ways that we can serve others. Look for a way we can bear one another's burdens. Can I suggest to you that we start with our own spouses and our own family members? I mean, no, gentlemen, if you decided you were going to serve your wife, how many know it's okay for a man to do some dishes? Pass a vacuum cleaner? I don't know if you ever know. I did a marriage conference 2 years in a row at another part of the country for 80-something couples over the couple of years. And I read an article. This is true. Gentlemen, listen to me. I read an article that said women did a survey around the country. The time that a man is most sexy is when he's pushing a vacuum cleaner. Number one answer in a survey of women across the country. Now listen, I'm not suggesting you have to do everything, but how many know it's okay if you see, come on, you see that the dishes are loading up, instead of saying, boy, I don't know when she's going to get to those. You got two hands. Maybe she worked all day. Maybe she didn't work all day. You know what? How about just help out? I'm not saying you have to take over all the dish duties. But I mean, it's okay once in a while to say, you know what? She's really tired tonight. I'm going to... Oh, come on. Ladies? Come on. Nah, you guys are all right. You get the point. The point is, if you see something, you know, again, Mark, you take so good. But if you walk by and you see a paper on the ground, don't say, well, how come the custodian missed that? How about you just bend down and pick it up and throw it in the trash? I mean, no, that's all our responsibility. It's not just theirs. They carry the big load. But if you see an opportunity, serve. If you see, we need help in the nursery. Do we need help in the nursery? I know Katarina's probably in there. We do. Anna, we do need help. You know what? Here's an opportunity. You say, instead of you coming in and saying, you know what? I'm going to sit in and I'm going to enjoy all that wonderful preaching every week. Oh, come on. I'm just. If anyone thinks too highly of them, wrong perspective. You get my point. Say, you know what? That mom who worked really hard to get those kids ready. How many know those moms that are here, there's some people that had to take more hours to get their kids and their family here to be here this morning. And some can't come oftentimes because it's so hard to get the kids here and ready. And if those make the effort to do it, wouldn't it be grace if you gave up one Sunday, even if it was one Sunday? How about one Sunday a year, one Sunday every 6 months, one Sunday every 3 months to say, I'll sit in the nursery, I'll take care of that child, I'll carry that load for one Sunday so that mom can sit and enjoy without her kids. Oh, come on. That's good preaching. How about that neighbor? You know what? The best witness for Jesus is not wearing a placard that says, repent. How about the best witness to your neighbor is when you see him doing something, you go over and you give him a hand. Say, you know what, I see you got a lot. You got a lot of bags to take to the curb. Could I help you take one? I mean, no, that's more Jesus than, never mind. No matter how big your Bible is, it's how big your heart. Oh. I told you I'm going to get you all before it's over. No, listen. Start with your family. Start with your community. Start with ministry. Find an area of ministry. Every person who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ ought to have a ministry, ought to be involved in a ministry, whether it's singing or in the kitchen or in the nursery or helping with the kids or the students or greeting at the door or helping in the parking lot or doing There's lots of ways. Every believer should have some, should be doing some type. Listen, nothing will make this season better when you do something for someone else. Serve the Lord by serving one another. How many know I got to stop? But I want to tell you one story. One night, a cobbler dreamed that the next day that Jesus was going to come to his humble shop. He was so excited and the dream was so real, he decorated his little shop for the arrival of such an important guest. He waited all morning only to feel disappointed because the shop was quiet. Only one elderly gentleman came up to the door and limped to the door and asked if he could sit down for a few minutes and get warm. While the man was sitting and resting, the cobbler noticed that his shoes were worn out. So he took a new pair off the shelves and he gave it to the stranger who went on his way. That afternoon he said, well, Jesus is definitely going to come this afternoon. And he waited and, again, disappointed. Nothing happened except just one elderly lady struggled to the door with a heavy load of firewood she was taking home. He invited her in just to rest a few minutes and he gave her a meal and she went on her way. Then nightfall came and he thought, well, maybe the Lord will come tonight. And as he waited, he heard a crying child outside his shop and he ran outside and he noticed a youngster in tears and all by himself. He took the child in for a moment and then he walked him home and he returned back to his shop. When he got back to the shop, he was disappointed. He thought, maybe the Lord came while I was taking this little boy home. And so he bowed his head and he said, Lord, I'm disappointed. I really believe that dream was you. You were going to come and visit me today. And then a soft voice he heard in his heart say, lift up your heart. I kept my word. Three times I came to you and to your friendly door. Three times my shadow was on your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave food. I was the child on the street you brought back home. Matthew 25, 35 to 45 says this, for the Lord said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the disciples said, Lord, when did we do these things for you? And the Lord said, when you did it for these others, you have done it for me. This season is a season of opportunity for serving. Serve the Lord by serving others. I want you to bow your head with me a moment.